Turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 2, and verse 5 will be the focus of our attention this evening. Philippians, chapter 2, and verse 5, we'll begin reading. And I would invite you to please stand in honor and reverence to the Word of God. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we ask for your guidance as we look at your word tonight. Speak to us, Lord, through your word. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see, that we may know you and respond to your will in this study. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. The Apostle Paul, as he writes to the book of Philippians, tells us, let this mind be in you, or let this mind be in us, that was in Christ Jesus. To put it simply, think like Jesus thinks. Pretty easy, right? Actually, it's not that easy. As a matter of fact, my thinking is usually what gets me in trouble. Does anybody else have that trouble? Have you ever said, well, I thought... And you can finish that sentence. And the reason my thinking gets me in trouble comes down to one word: selfishness. It's what I want, what I like, what I want to see, what I want to do. And what Paul writes here is so much the opposite of that, as he gives us a lesson into the mind of Christ. And he says we are to have this kind of mind. He said, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And that mind looks like this. He said, Jesus took the form of a bondservant and made himself of no reputation. Literally, that statement, to make himself or make oneself of no reputation, literally means to empty oneself. Now you consider Jesus being in the form of God. It says he was equal with God. And he had to empty himself as he came to this earth as a man. Imagine, if you will, I mean, this is our Jesus. This is who our Savior was. That he was literally God in heaven, and he laid that aside to come to this earth, not just as a man, but as a bond servant. Now that's really laying it aside. Because once again, this is where I get in trouble. You know, I look out for my personal interest and my selfish desires. Jesus not only laid aside himself and who he was as God to become a man, but he laid all that aside to come as a servant and to serve mankind. Do you realize Jesus didn't come to be crowned king? He didn't come to be a Pharisee, a Sadducee, or one of the other C's. He didn't come to be the high priest and elevate himself in the Jewish religion. He absolutely came by emptying himself and turned his attention to you. to you and to me. A poor, helpless, hopeless sinner that could do nothing for himself. This is the Savior that we serve. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, Jesus said, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. The first type of thinking that we see in Jesus Christ is that it was nothing about Him and everything about me. And so if we want to live this Christian life and truly be what Jesus has called us to be, that's what we've got to learn how to do, is to empty ourselves of self-desire to serve other people. It says in verse 8 that He humbled Himself and became obedient. Now you know what humility is. That literally means to assign yourself a lower place. He was God, but He assigned Himself the position of a man, and even lower than that, a servant of mankind. And I want you to understand here, as Jesus made that transformation, if you will, from God to man, this Jesus did not come into existence in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. He being God, He was in existence when the world was spoken into existence. You go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and you hear God speak, "Let there be light, and let there be land, and let the trees come forth." You read all about that. You know who that was? That was Jesus. That was your Savior and my Savior. John 1, 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made." So I want you to see how Jesus stepped from up here to down here. And He did it for you. And He did it for me. Imagine going from the God of the universe, who actually spoke the universe into existence, to becoming a little baby in the arms of Mary in the town of Bethlehem. That's quite a change. Imagine going from the love of the Father and in the presence of the Father and the glory of the Father to being rejected by His own people. And He did it for you and for me, for He Himself had nothing to gain by it. You see, this was the mind of Jesus Christ. You know, and as I said, do you have a problem getting your mind right? I do. I'll just be honest with you. Sometimes I just have to get on my knees and say, "Lord, I just can't think right." I remember watching a movie one time, and it was a prison movie, and there was this guy there. And his name was Can't Get Right. That's me. Sometimes I just have to cry out to the Lord, "Lord, I'm not thinking right." But as I read this, I'm truly humbled to think this is my Savior, who set aside everything for my benefit. The true essence of humility. Matthew chapter 18, verse 4. "Therefore, whoever humbles himself as a little child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." That's where, if we want to start thinking right, that's what we have to be striving towards. It says, not only did He humble Himself, but He became obedient to the death of the cross. That word obedient, of course, is submissive and complying to the instructions of those in authority. Whose authority did Jesus comply to? The authority of His Father. John 5:30. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own, but the will of the Father who sent me. Everything about Jesus was about serving His Father. Do you see why I'm so interested in this? It was never about Jesus. Why? It just kind of makes me say, wow. Wow. 2 Peter. What's the will of the Father for Jesus? 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord's not slack concerning His promise, as some slack countenance, but long-suffering toward us, not willing that any... Here's what I want you to get. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So when Jesus says, I'm going to do the will of my Father, the will of the Father was that no one perish, but that all come to repentance. That's why Jesus said, come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's the servant that Jesus was. And to seek and to save that which is lost, it meant that He would have to go to the cross of Calvary and give His life to die a criminal's most horrible death to pay the sin debt of you and of me. You see, that's our Savior. And that's what I want us to... You know, to just back up, because so often we talk about the death of Jesus Christ, and so often we take for granted the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and quite honestly, sometimes we become a little bit callous to it. As I was preparing this, I was reminded, Jesus didn't have to do that. That my salvation would require His death upon the cross of Calvary as a sacrifice for my sin. And His obedience of submitting Himself to that cross was seeking and saving me, which was lost. You see, that's what obedience is. Obedience is whatever it takes. You heard that song? Whatever it takes to be closer to You, Lord, that's what I'm willing to do. Boy, that song is a mouthful when you get down and you think about it. But that's what my Savior did. You see, and it's at this point that I'm reminded, if my Savior can do all that for me, how can I not lay aside myself? My likes, my dislikes, my personal desires, my wants, and say, here am I, send me. Wherever You want me to go, Lord, I'll go. Whatever You want me to do, Lord, I'll do. If You want me to stay, Lord, I'll stay. If You want me to go somewhere, I'll go somewhere. If You want me to tell somebody about Jesus, I'll tell them, Lord. Whatever You want me to, if You want me to serve as a lowly servant, Lord, that's what I'll do. And I think that's the secret to thinking right. I mean, let's face it, and I mentioned this morning how that for 3 years I did not want to surrender to preach. Finally, and I've shared with you, you know, when I surrendered to preach, I was like, okay, Lord, I'll preach, but don't ask me to pastor a church, because I know how they treat preachers, right? And it took another couple of years for me to realize that half-hearted surrender is not real surrender. 1 Peter 5:6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. That's what Jesus did. That's what, if you want to have the mind of Christ, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. You say, Brother Doug, if I do something like that, this old world will run over me. This dog-eat-dog world, they'll abuse me and they'll mistreat me. That's what they did to your Savior. But the best part of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6 is the last half. You see, it doesn't just say, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. But the last part of that verse says, that He may exalt you in due time. I mean, let's face it. How many want to be exalted? I do. But I want to be exalted by the hand of God, not by the actions and attitudes of Doug Hambrick. That's the mind that Paul is talking about that Jesus had. And we know how that Jesus Christ died upon that cross of Calvary for our sins, and that He was laid in that grave, and He was dead when He was laid in that grave. But after 3 days, what happened? He came out of that grave alive and well. And we know that that same Jesus ascended into heaven and today is seated at the right hand of the Father. You see, that's our Jesus, who did what had to be done on our behalf, but today He is exalted above every name. And I want to read that last part to you again. Therefore, God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. And those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth and and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of the Father. He's given Him a name above every name. You know, that word name, it carries the idea of reputation. Well, let me tell you about my Jesus. He came as an humble servant, obedient to the cross, because that was what it required. But He's coming back in, and I'll be honest with you, I'm so very appreciative for what Jesus did upon the cross of Calvary. But my faith does not stop on the cross of Calvary. That's where my faith begins. You see, because He died, rose again, and ascended to the Father, I place my faith and my trust in Him, and I have the promise of the Word of God that He Himself will again come and receive me to Himself. That's where we read in the book of John, as Jesus told His disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself. You see, at the name of Jesus, those are the thoughts that should flood the hearts of the believer today. It's not over, my friend. It's just beginning. That at that name of Jesus, He's coming again. It's a name that automatically comes to mind of this time when He comes. He'll be coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He'll rule on the throne of His father David. Can you imagine when Jesus sets up His kingdom upon this earth that there won't be a democracy? There will not be an election. He will reign and He will rule and He will do it according to His standard and the standard of God Himself. And you know what? People, you could back up, and there very likely will be some on earth who will back up and say, I don't like it, but it's too bad. He'll be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I look forward to that day when there be no more government scandals, when there be no more immoral, ungodly living. I look forward to that day when, beloved, His saints will have that glorified body. Can you imagine a body that don't hurt? Can you imagine every decision that's made on the government level is right and final? I love the last part, because this tells me who my Jesus truly is. No longer is he, not only is he the coming Prince of Peace, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords, but my friend, one of these days, every knee will bow before him to the glory of the Father. Oh yeah, the world is filled with people today who will blaspheme his holy name and who will refuse his conviction and his direction and his teaching. But beloved, you can take it to the bank that one of these days, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. That word confess means to acknowledge. And it carries with not only acknowledgement, but a praise and a thanksgiving that Jesus Christ is Lord. Can you imagine that day when every knee bows? No longer will you be looked down upon as some religious fanatic. No longer will you be abused by the standards and the desires of this world. But the good news is that when Jesus comes back to rule and reign and set up His kingdom, He's going to bring His children with Him and we're going to rule and reign with Him. Isn't that good news? You know, the world is, today the world is living and grabbing all they can grab along the way. And they're entering an eternity without God, which means an eternity in hell. But I want to tell you, for the believer, beloved, the best is yet to come. Glory to God, we have a Savior. Yes, let this mind be in us. And if in this day that God has called us to serve, and He has, let us serve with all our heart, with all our soul. Because there's coming a day when Jesus is coming to receive us to Himself. What a glorious day that'll be. You know, I love the song. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Can you imagine? You know, we sing that, but can you imagine? And you look toward the eastern sky and you see, literally see, the coming Son of God coming to get His own. As the Bible says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we'll meet Jesus in the air. We'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Transformed, throw off this old earthly body for that new glorified body. Beloved, it's going to get better. May we have the mind of Christ. And may we look forward to the day when our Jesus comes again. You may be here tonight. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I can assure you of this, that day's coming. You may have put it off. Let me invite you. Jesus did everything He did for you upon the cross of Calvary. He gave His life so that you could have eternal life, to pay your sin debt. And He offers that payment, that gift of salvation to you. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, you can bow a knee in this life or you can bow a knee in the next one. But I promise you this, one day your knee will bow to the glory and the majesty of the Master Jesus Christ. Will you receive Him as Savior tonight? Maybe you're here and there's another need in your life. Whatever that need is, you know, Jesus is the answer. Perhaps you're discouraged. Oh, listen, we're going to win. Okay? We're going to win. This life may be hard, but we already have the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Maybe you need to come spend some time at this altar, communing, fellowship with God. Would invite you to come in this invitation. Whatever your spiritual need, baptism, salvation, church membership, you come and you let Jesus have His way. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You, Lord, because we are reminded tonight that we serve a living Savior, that grave didn't hold Him. And today, seated at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for us. And so today, Lord, we do need that intercession. I pray for all the ones in this service that are going through difficult times and challenges in their life. And Lord, I pray that You'll provide them the strength and encouragement that they need. And Lord, I also pray for the day that Jesus Christ comes again. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come today. We pray that Your coming will occur soon. For Lord, we look forward to meeting You in the air. And now I pray Your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray.